if you leave corporate America, like that's really when you can reflect and say, what do I want to do
What's
for
important?
Me?
Yeah.
What's important? Because again, when you're doing that second life, your second act, you know, do something you want to do that brings you joy and happiness, because that's why you left corporate America. If you wanted to stay in the rat race, you could stay in the rat race.
And the money will follow. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the Corporate Escapee Podcast.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on today.
It is my pleasure, and I promise not to call your business Wingstop anymore. It's Wingman.
Wingman.
Which I love. That is now one of my favorite names for a business. And
that's
folks, once
awesome.
We get into this, you'll understand why. But thank you for joining us. And today, two things. Wingman, I want to talk about that because you're now offering it as franchise. And I think franchise is an underappreciated path for escapees. So I want to get into that, but you're like a multi-angle guest, right? Because you did escape. I would call you an OG of the escapee from corporate. You did it a while ago.
Yeah.
And so I want to get in your journey a little bit, some of the things that you did. Let's talk about Wingman. Franchising is an opportunity. And there's just some other things. You work with a lot of small businesses. We should probably hit record before then because we were talking about that. So those are kind of the three areas I'd love to get into. And then whatever else is on your mind.
Sure. I've been out of the corporate workforce for 17 years now. I was a young guy. I was 30 years old. I wasn't married. I didn't really have a lot of expenses and bills. I was like, let's take a shot at this, because I just couldn't think about doing. I was working for two large, one was a Fortune 500, one was a Fortune 10 at the time. And I was doing like analysis upon analysis and churn and this and that. And I said, I can't see myself doing this for a long time. I just, like, as much as it was interesting and as much as I was a rising star. I was an up and comer. I was a young guy and I was making moves. I wanted to show the world that, you know, what I knew and what I could do. But as I started to do it, and, you know, I got passed over by promotion because this guy had more tenure than me, but I was a better employee. Like I could do the job better just because of tenure. I lost out. I remember also one time I got promoted twice in 1 year. And the boss says, well, I can't really give you a big increase on your second promotion. And I said, just out of curiosity, I was young, 23, 24 years old. I said, you know, why? And he goes, you know, I'd have to go to the CFO and get an exception because, you know, we've raised your salary. But you promoted me twice. I said, why do you want to hold me back? And he goes, you know, Tom, that's just the way it is. And I was like, at the time I was a young guy, I had a nice salary, so I didn't make a big deal of it. But then when I left and I went to a competitive company, they said, well, why are you leaving? I said, well, you know, I got passed over here. You limited the upside here. I said, you don't really value what you're getting. And they were like, well, we really do. And you're a really great guy. And I said, that's cool. We could still be friends. Like, right. At the same time, like I was trying to make my mark on the world. I was trying to buy a house. I was trying to, you know, kind of just get out there. And I was the guy who was in at 7:30 in the morning, and I was the last guy to leave when I worked for a corporation. So, like, I'm not scared of the hustle. I'm not scared of the hours, but I thought that I should have been compensated differently for some of these things that we were doing. So I left. I went to a competitive company, which again is outside of my grain. Like, that's not something I do, but they called me. They were like, listen, we're looking for somebody like yourself. They said, look, well, you know, they gave me a nice increase. But then there, it was the same thing. It was just, you know, like, I'll put together this PowerPoint in 2 weeks. We'll talk to my boss about it. I said, the problem's now. I said, now's the time. We got to talk about this problem. 2 weeks, it's, you know, worse.
Right.
Well, that's the way we do things. And I said, okay. So little by little, I realized this wasn't for me. Like, again, single guy, ready to work, ready to take on the project. And they're like, oh, we got to talk to the boss's boss, or, you know, we'll put this on the calendar in a few weeks. And I said, I just kind of looked at myself. And I was like, what am I doing here? Like, this is just going to be a long career. And I said, I don't really want that. I'd rather take some risks. I was an entrepreneur by trade. I always liked to, you know, hustle and do things on, you know, I was a young guy. I had a paper route. Then I was a bartender. I always liked that hustle. And the better you do, the better you're compensated. So yeah. I always lived that sales kind of mentality. So again, I was like about 30 years old. I said, I started to do some stuff on the side before like a side hustle was a cool thing. I started to build this like matching service for contractors and homeowners. So if you're looking for a roof, I would get roofers to advertise on my website. This is close to 20 years ago. And you would find ABC Roofing. You'd give them a call. Well, ABC Roofing started to say to me, hey, why don't you make me a website? Why don't you help me with the marketing? Why don't you put me on the first page of Google? And I was like, well, I have this site, you know, and they're like, it's great. Cool. We'll pay you for the site, but we really want you to do this other work. And then I started, but I didn't know how to build a website. I had hired a company to build my website. So then I started to try to find some freelancers. And, you know, some guys are very particular. And, you know, again, when you start working with the trades, that's an interesting group to work with. But you got, you know, the two people, the trades and the other person and you know, the freelancer couldn't mesh. So I was like, you know what, let me try to be the middleman and see if I can get all the information from you as the tradesman of what you want on this website, and then reach out to the developer, tell them what, sketch it out, tell them what I want. And that became very successful for me. Because the tradesmen and the contractors were like, we get you. You understand us. We talk the same language. So then I started to do that. And then I built a couple sites and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And now I'm starting to do some consulting, but I'm still working at Big Co. I decided one day, I said, I got to just do this. If now's my time, if I'm not going to do it now, I'm never going to do it. And the more your salary goes up, the less likely you are to, again, you go from making a X amount of money to tomorrow you make zero, right? If you're going to go out on your own. And I think some of these corporate escapees and some of the things they have to realize is I would think about now, if I had to do it again, have a side hustle, start to realize your value, realize your worth, and then get some clients, and then the jump isn't as hard. So I had a couple, you know, I had probably, I don't know, I had a handful of customers when I made the jump, and I said, all right, well, I got to do this, you know, this is the amount of money I need. Like, forget money for extras. This is, you know, to pay my housing, right, to pay my cell phone, to pay my car insurance. I need this amount of money every month. So that's my number. Forget what I was making at Big Co. Forget that. That's history now, because I want this new life. And then I came in, I said, well, that's the number I need to make every month. And then made it in the first month. And then second month, you get another customer and you start feeling good about yourself. And you're like, right, this is cool. And little by little, you know, and when I first did it, I said, I'm just going to work for myself. I'm going to have just a consulting company. I'm not going to worry about, like, I don't want employees. I don't want this or that. And I'm just going to just work for myself. I'm going to be like a consultant, solopreneur consultant. I did that for the first like 4 or 5 years. And then like I picked up a person who was like an admin and picked up a person to help me populate some websites, but nothing big. So now I'm in business 17 years this year. 11 years ago, I picked up a woman and I said to her, and she still works with me today. And I said to her, we're just going to work out of my house. We're never going to get an office. And we're just, you know, it's just going to be you, me, maybe a couple developers. We're just going to build these websites for these local businesses near us. And she goes, okay, cool. 6 months later,
we're hiring
a third person. And my wife says, like, Tom, I think you might want to look into office space. It's, you know, Tony and this other person are here in the evenings while I'm trying to, like, cook dinner and, you know, get the house ready for the evening. So I said, okay. So I find this building down the road. I speak to the guy. All right, we're gonna get set up in there. And we were there. And now this building, this office has 5 offices. There's me, Tony, and an intern. And I say, what are we ever going to do with all this space? We were swimming in space. So I rent out one of the offices to the attorney rents back for me. And another business owner that I knew rented another office for me. So like it starts to fill up. Well, we tell the one person says, we said, look, we got to part ways because we needed space. And then we're like, we're now out of space. Like we started to hire. So now we have like 4 or 5 or 6 people in this small little 5-person office. But when I say it was a 5-person office, it's like 1 bathroom. Now people are waiting online to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, this is weird. So we went from, I'm not going to move out of my house to now we have a line for our bathroom. So we started looking again, and I found a building that was in, it was a real estate building from the 1970s. It was like from Glengarry, Glen Ross, the sales movie. So I'm like, I took on this project, and we're gonna buy the building, we're gonna renovate the building. We're gonna keep our existing building because we need those five or six people to still work there. But we're gonna do this, and I'll tell you, like, that was one of the hardest projects I have ever done. Again, you're a small business, and by no means am I a large corporation. We have five or six people working at one building. We're gutting and renovating another building that we're carrying at this point now. But I saw the vision. I saw like what it could be. And I love, you know, in the podcast and maybe in the notes, we could take a picture of the outside of the building and see like what it turned out to. And I remember people saying to me, and people had some, you know, rude comments along the way. You know, I renovated the building. I made it beautiful, but I never put a sign outside. I never did exterior work at the beginning. And people were like, oh, what's up with that? And I said to them, I don't make money on the outside. I said, I need my guys to have a safe place to work. And again, I need desks, floors, you know, everything here in the inside, because that's what's going to make me be able to stay in business, make money and produce your jobs. And they were like, you know, but, you know, people, they just say whatever they want.
Right.
But now when you look at the outside of my building, I get compliments daily about how great the building looks, how I turned around a 30-year-old real estate company into this, you know, and the owner of the real estate company called me one day. He goes, I'd really love to take a tour of the inside because the outside looks great. Like that was one of the biggest compliments, because, you know, someone that owned the building before me came in and said to me, like, Tom, this looks really good.
Yeah.
It made that, you know, kind of all that hard work, and, you know, it's, you know, I had the eye on the prize. I knew that I wanted to figure out something. So now we have, you know, again, I wasn't going to have employees till now Tony to now we're in the second building.
Yeah. Let me, before we go into the next phase of this, there's so much I want to unpack before we get too far away from it, because I absolutely love this story. Because if you're in corporate, guess what? You're not redecorating a building.
No.
Maybe you are, but I'm guessing that's probably not going to be on the agenda.
Yeah.
And even when you were still in corporate, I could just see people in the audience nodding their heads saying, yeah, what the hell am I doing? Right. I had on the podcast, well, probably late summer last year, a 26-year-old, right? He was in investment banking, got burned out just in the, and that's still in the training period at that point. He went and started coaching and training like high school kids, athletes with performance, opened up a gym. So he completely figured it out much earlier than folks like me that, you know, climbed the corporate ladder for decades until we realized, what the hell am I doing? And so kudos to you for figuring it out earlier than.
You know, I love everything my parents did for me, but they are the safest of safe people. They live in the same home that they bought 52 years ago. So they're creatures of habit.
Yeah.
They're the salt of the earth. They're the greatest two people in the world. But at the same time, I did not, like, I remember when I quit my job, my mom says, one of my mom's first questions to me is, Tom, well, what about your health insurance?
Yeah.
That was her main question of when, forget, like, are you going to have enough customers? Are you going to do this? What about the health insurance? And I said, Ma, you know, when you leave a job, you can get a COBRA for 18 months. I said, so the first 18 months, I'll just pay the COBRA fee and now add that to my monthly expense of what I need to earn, because now you're paying the full boat, not, you know, the discounted rate. So I said to her, I said, I'll just pay the COBRA fee for 18 months. And then hopefully in 18 months, either my business is good enough that I can buy insurance, or I'm going to have to go get a corporate job. And, you know, again, I was not married at the time, but my wife now said to me at the time, take a shot. What do you have to lose? Like, you know, if you don't like it, you go back and you get into sales for a corporation, and you can do fine the rest of, you know, the rest of your career. And again, so that was a great support. I didn't really feel like I could fail. If I failed, I had to go back to corporate America.
Yeah.
But my pride and my work ethic wasn't going to let me fail, because I didn't want to let someone say you couldn't do it. I never wanted someone to be able to say. And, you know, I had a boss's boss at the time who was like the CMO of the company. He told one of my buddies that I worked with, I hope Tom's out there selling pencils. You know, he's not going to be able to make it, because he didn't want me to, you know, succeed in that and go out on my own. And again, you know, now as an employer of 25 employees, I say to people, listen, if there is an opportunity that you want to take, take it, take your shot now. If you don't think working for me is the best, that's okay. Like, I want to see you succeed. I want to see you put together. If there's something that really, you know, is a burning desire, go do it. Try it. We got one turn at the, around here. So, like, I don't want to see you take something up, and I don't want to see you say to me, you know, 10 years later, oh, if I would have left Wingman, I could have done this. Like, I want you, if there's a better opportunity and there's something better out there for you. Yeah, I say that with the customers too. If there's a customer that says they can get a better deal here or do better here, I will. There's no hard feelings. We will never. You'll never have to explain anything. I tell people anytime that it comes up, it's your business. You have to do what's best for you. And I say that about the employees. And I think in corporate, you don't get that same support.
No, not anymore. I'd argue in the early days, it was a little more. They pretended, the corporations pretended to care about you a little bit, right? And if you had the right boss and the right thing, I mean, all bets are off at this point. And right, if you, again, my look at the forced return to office is just it's a layoff, right? It's a disguised layoff because they don't know who they're going to lose, because not everybody's going to want to up and start community office 5 days a week. They know people are going to leave, and they have no idea if it's good people or the bad people. And again, and once you lose your job, good luck. Because I think, I don't think we've talked about on the podcast, but you know, these layoffs as a business strategy have become common, right? Even good quarter, bad quarter, companies are like, oh, we're going to take some people out to improve the bottom line. It's a drug to these companies, and they're not going to be able to quit doing this. So if you were safe this quarter, are you going to be safe next quarter? And then are you going to be able to find the next job? I just think corporate is going through such a transition that now is the time. And I love your advice. Start with something on the side. Earn that first dollar outside of corporate. And even posted today, I said, plan for the worst, hope for the best, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's not what you want to do, you're going to be surprised at, again, and I'm just speaking from experience of thousands of escapees that I've talked to, less than 10% actually go back to corporate because they want to. Right. Yeah. So once you get out and you realize you can do the work you like to do, and it's not all sales. Yes, you do have to do some things and be scrappy. But the funny thing is, even at 30, 40, 50, 60 year olds, they still want to work. They still want to put in the effort. They're just done doing it, the dumb stuff, right? The busy work or the fire drills, those things. So again, I think if you're willing to work, put in the effort, learn, connect with folks, you can find a way. Because even when you started this company, it wasn't what you were doing in corporate. You kind of taught yourself how to do some websites and marketing. You saw the opportunity, like, well, let me go figure it out. And the next thing
as
you know,
as long as you're willing to figure it out and hustle and do whatever it takes, you could do it. I feel like you could do anything. I started out just, this is what, you know, we started out with, we're going to help, again, we were a matching service. Then that brought us on to please build all websites. And then I remember somebody said to me early on, a friend of mine, from 17 years ago, said, the name Wingman, it's kind of offensive to women. I said, and he goes, you're not going to have any women clients. And I said, most of my work is with contractors. I'm willing to take that risk. And again, the contractors love the name. So I said, I'm willing to take that risk. I would tell you right now, I probably do 50% of my work is with women business owners. So I have literally a 50-50 split. And then on top of that, the amount of work I do with contractors now is probably like maybe 15 to 20%. And I'm in 15 different verticals. So
yeah,
nobody didn't hire me because my name was Wingman. So again, I think sometimes people are going to say things. People have opinions. Everyone's got one, right? So you got to just push through the noise and just go. You have a vision, you have an idea, go with it. And again, you're going to make mistakes along the way, and you're going to have to retract, and you're going to have to pull back. And I don't know if I told you this from our pre-conversation. I don't know if we ever talked about it. As an entrepreneur, you could have the best and worst day on the same day within a half hour. You could have a great moment, a great sales opportunity, a great thing with your team, and then you get smacked in your face and you have to call the lawyer later in the day. Like there's... that happens. I think that as long as you can just roll with the punches, you know, and one of the guys on my team says it best. He goes, you never get frazzled. You never get knocked off your game. And my feeling is don't let somebody lay a glove on you. Just roll with the punches. And there's many times I say, I have to be like Teflon. I have to just let it roll off me, because if I let everything bother me, I'd have a miserable life.
Yeah, no, life's too short. And that's the reason you got out of corporate, was to figure this out. And I used to joke, because we've had some folks come from the collective where they just quit corporate, yep. Right? They're starting their thing. And literally within the first week, it's like Anchorman, Ron Burgundy was in the glass case of emotion. He's like, this is the greatest day ever. Or what the hell did I just do? This is easy. It's like, oh my God, this is so, yeah, within a 24-hour period, right?
And
you go
you
through
know,
all that.
Especially as you start growing customers. Now, you know, one thing, and this is the reason, I don't know if we can go into it yet, but the franchise. I decided on the franchise because I saw how hard it was to get customers, do the work. I was the administrative assistant. I was the billing clerk. I was running the credit cards. I was scheduling. And I was like, this is really hard. And again, go back to my work ethic. I will just push through it. I don't get tired. I'm the first in, last out, always. That's been my way for 20 years. Not everyone can do that. So when I decided on the franchise, I said, wait a second. When I think about all the things that were hard to overcome at the beginning, if we could give an outlet for that and we could have somebody from our corporate team take the phone calls and pass the message to our franchisees, if we could have someone run the credit cards so that they don't have to. But again, cash flow is king as a small business. So if you could make sure that there was cash flow. And then I said, wait, a lot of franchises are hiring 20 people. Like, so before you even open your doors, you've done a build out, you've bought equipment, you've hired 20 people, and you haven't made a sale or a dollar yet. And now you have to manage these 20 people. What could we do? And I said, well, if our corporate team could do the work, now the franchisee is really just a marketing and sales agent to go out and find new business, prospect business, go to events, go to trade shows, go to chambers of commerce, BNIs, and those and the likes. And all of a sudden, you're going to change the way that people make connections, and you're into it for a lot less than being the business owner and trying to do it all.
Right. Yeah. And no, perfect segue into this because, again, because I think you've even talked about your growth of the business shows why there's no one way to do this, because I think a lot of us, my intent when I left was, all right, I want to replace my corporate salary, but I only want to work 20, 25 hours per mm-hmm. week, which I had gotten myself to, right? It took a couple of years, but I finally figured it out to get the revenue coming in. Then all of a sudden the corporate escapee started going, and now I'm, you know, 50 to 60 hours. But the difference is this is all for me, right? This is not for me, but in a sense, I'm not putting it in for a company or a corporate. So if I put the hard work in, I'm going to get the benefit. And I love doing this. But mm-hmm. but the point is, as you went through your growth curve, you got to a point where there was a multiple, lots of customers, and you had a lot more admin. You had to bring people in. So I kind of see the spectrum, right? I see the folks that just want a little bit of a side hustle, right? But to do it full time, replace some income, replace the income, or go big. And the beauty is you can change your mind, right? You could have gone through this process and said, you know what? I kind of like my life the way it was before it got too complicated with customers and everything else. I'm going to go. So, but walk me into, because we haven't had anybody from the franchise in quite a bit while. So what was the idea? And then get me into kind of the specifics of how
sure.
it works.
Well, so again, that building that we were talking about renovating, we renovate the building. It's beautiful. And I bought that in 18. So we're in it for a year and a half, and then COVID happens, right?
Oh, right.
So now I have, now at the same time, 17, I also invested in a transportation company, which I still still own. And we invested in wedding trolleys. I live on the Jersey Shore. Very popular. A gentleman came to me that was a client of Wingman, said, listen, I'm, you know, going to be breaking up with my existing partners. Would you ever be interested in investing in this? I was like, that's not really my thing, but let's talk about it. We talked about it. We came to an agreement. And again, knowing that a lot of these limo companies didn't, and transportation companies didn't have great websites, they didn't have marketing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I could bring that into the business from day one and, you know, be able to have some competitive advantages, which has paid off for us. It has worked. Now 18 was a tough year for me because I now am buying a building, renovating it, and I'm now buying
and
into
making investments. Yeah.
And if I could look back, I would say probably 18 wasn't my smartest year. And then, you know, we get to 2020 and I was like, well, what do we do now? So, you know, we're working from home. I have a building that I'm paying big bills on that I have nobody in. But again, I'm a big believer in it'll work out. Like, you know,
problem solver.
Let's just figure out what we need to do. Again, let's just put our eye on the prize. Let's figure it out. And then we'll work through the issues. So I go, we're at this point, we're working from home. We come back. And then I don't know, our chief operating officer and I were talking. And I said, well, we got to figure out some different business lines because the existing business with COVID changed. So we took on some additional work to kind of support us. I'm a big fan of no layoffs. Like, let's not lay anybody off. I've to this day not laid anybody off. You know, again, these people, they come to work for me because they believe in me.
Right.
You know, Tom Mirabella, which is my name, and wingman are interchangeable words. Like, again, they come to me because they want to be part of wingman because they believe in my vision. They believe in what we're doing. I'm a community guy. I also have a foundation that I started during this adventure. Like, I'm about being authentic. I have the utmost integrity because, again, I said it. Like, I'm not one to say sorry a lot because I said it and I believe it, or I said it made a mistake. So I'm all about being authentic, being who I am. So, you know, that part of me is very entrepreneurial. And again, that was one thing hard about corporate America. You know, you're telling a vendor that you know that you're not going to do something, but you're telling them something that the corporation wanted you to say. Like, I didn't really feel good about that kind of stuff.
Right. And so the vision was, we're going to expand and let
So the vision was, let's expand. Let's take on some additional lines of work to get us through COVID. We get through COVID. And then I said, why don't we open a second location for ourselves? Let's see, like, how we do. Can we get customers in another town area to believe in the same thing that we built in our first location?
So before we get there, just curious, because I actually love the local approach to this. Mm-hmm. So when you were doing on Solo, you were really focused on your local community then with the marketing and services. So you weren't out digitally going and taking work. You were targeting
We take work everywhere, and we do have some great referral partners. You know, one of my biggest referral partners is in California. I've never actually been to California, but he is one of my biggest referral partners. We met through a common person. We do a decent amount of work outside of our area, but we are very focused locally, and we're involved with the all the local organizations. We're in the Chamber of Commerce. We're in the Rotary. We're in the different networking groups, which we've received great value from over the years. And like I said, we have a local foundation that collects toys and food for those in need. So shout out to our Wingman Foundation and the team there. But so we are community focused. And so our thought is, could we take this community focus and bring it to another area and see if we can replicate it? So we're about 15 minutes away. Our two locations are about 15 minutes away. And people, again, talk about people at the beginning. They're like, Tom, did you lose your mind on this one? Why would you spend money in another location? They could just Google you. And I was like, I don't think you're going to get all those Google searches. And the way I structured building two was, because it was 15 minutes away and most of my employees have a hybrid schedule. They work 2 to 3 in the office and 2 to 3 from home, depending on their schedule, depending on their current job.
Right.
So I said where the proximity was, you could work in either office. And part of our handbook is said that when we hire you, that we could put you at either office based on the needs of the business. So we had no incremental labor, which was key to success for the second office, because if we have no labor costs, all we're paying is rent. So I said, if we bought billboards, or we ran pay-per-click advertising, or ran social ads, as long as it's roughly the same cost as our rent, but there's a door that's open that people could ask questions for. So like, if you buy a billboard, it's on the street, but no one could ask you a question because it's up on the street. So my thought was, if we could have a billboard where people could walk in and ask us any questions, well, let's see how we do. We signed a 3-year simple lease, nothing crazy. And, you know, at the beginning, we weren't getting all that walk-in that I thought we were going to get. Then we started our own podcast. And now all of a sudden, people are coming in every week and go, I didn't even know you were here. I didn't know that this existed. Oh, what could you do? And we turned our podcast into a lead generator.
Yeah. And
in the first like 50 episodes, we probably turned 25% of them into clients. And I was like, wow, this is really great. And then we started doing lunch and learns there because the parking was better than our current building. And then we started to do some networking, evening, you know, networking. And now all of a sudden, we'll get all these new clients. And I said, wait a second, we didn't know these people 15 minutes away from us 6 months ago, a year ago. Now, like, we're the guys about town over there. And again, we brought our fundraising over there. And, oh, you own this transportation company. Oh, we need... And then I got involved with the township and the borough of that we're in. And they were like, well, we need signs and banners and we need, you know, your transportation company. And now all of a sudden we're a fabric of that community.
Yeah.
So I go back to Chelsea and I say, Chelsea, I said, look, we, I think this is something great. I think we've uncovered something. If you can be the wingman of the town, there's something here. So why don't we start exploring franchising? Because I think that can kind of get us to that next level. And in the franchising process, we've learned that we're going to open our own locations too. It's not, we're not just going to a franchise model because I believe in it so much.
Right.
I'm, you know, I think a lot of franchises are like, let's, once they prove the first concept, they're like, let's just do franchise only. Whereas I want to do franchise. I want to do franchise and I want to set these, you know, men and women up for success, but I also want to open my own locations too, because I see that the model works. I see what you have to do to make it work. And also I want to, a couple of my employees have expressed interest in franchise. So I want to kind of figure out a combo model. I don't even know what we'll call it yet, but like
yeah.
a co-ownership, because I want them to get like, one of the guys said to me, my goal in 5 years is to have my own wingman franchise. And then I think about it and I say, well, what's holding him back from 5 years from now? He's like, in 5 years, he's 5 years older. I'm 5 years older. But if we got that open today in a month or 6 months, what do we need to do? Like, so now my job is to find out what and dig into what's holding him back so that can I facilitate and support getting him in?
Yeah. I'm so glad that we went down this path, because I think that's right. One, it's, I think it's mindset with that, well, I haven't paid my dues. And instead of saying, why not me? Right.
Let's hard. Go.
But the local, because when I was doing the research for the podcast, I'm like, why is he opening locations? I mean, it's so 1900, right? 2000.
It is.
But as you're speaking, I'm like, 100%, I get it, right? You become the hub, craving that in-person, and you become the go-to spot for advertising and people gathering. And I mean, I'm trying to figure that out with my business. How do I get more people so we can start to do in-person or invite business owners to meet with some of the escapees to do? Cause I'm working towards how do I incorporate it? And you just unlocked it even more for me talking about it. Because again, I was in the old school. I'm like, everything's digital. Why need a location? But when you said lunch and learns, people coming in, I'm like, ding, ding, ding. Makes
so
sense.
So that is the key. And I also, I'm from the old school, like that customer service is a thing. Like, so I have an assistant that works at my main office, 8:30 to 5, Monday to Friday, answers calls, fields, you know, and passes along tech support tickets and sales leads, everything. So I'm different than most of the, especially my peers in this digital marketing arena. They want to work from home. They want to work from wherever. They want to, you know, like wear their pajamas all day. Like I'm from a different mindset. I'm from a mindset of, you know, we're here for the customer, customer service. So when, again, that whole idea of that second location, I thought, you know, and most of my peers and competitors would probably say, listen, let's go buy some social ads, go buy pay-per-click for the same amount of money. But my mindset is let's have in-person activities. Let's have networking events. You know, one of our networking events probably had 75 people.
That's fantastic.
So 75 business owners. Now, we might have pulled them from both locations, came over to an event, and, you know, they're mingling and they're doing business. And they, you know, people call me for referrals all day long. Like the day that I decide that I want to, you know, bow out and sell Wingman, I could have a whole business in my, with all the contacts in my phone. So again, it's not always about business that's coming to me tomorrow. I'm planting seeds. I'm connecting good people with good people, because there will be a time when they're going to need me.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sorry I took us down rabbit holes with some of this good, but I do think the in-person is intriguing. Even as solo business owners, there's probably things that we can do. So we may have to do, I want to table that for another conversation, because I do want to get into, again, thinking about from an escapee standpoint, maybe they've never done anything entrepreneurial, never solo. They want to do something. Now, I've always looked at franchise as a business in the box, right? You kind of set it up. So why don't you walk us through one, your model specifically, but I'm sure you do some things different than other franchises, but how would a escapee with not a ton of some of that experience. How does that work?
I just want to add one thought, if we could, to the in-person too.
The
solopreneur that's leaving, the escapee. So here at my main building, we had two offices that we weren't using. So I rented them out to two local businesses that now have become client. One was a client before and one is, you know, a client now. Like it's a great spot for them too, because they didn't have to invest a ton of money, or like, again, I had the desks, I had the, you know, the internet. So like from that escapee, who they don't have to think about this huge rent right off the bat. Like if they, and again, I think that there's a value to getting out of your house, getting into a routine. To me, I get up every morning, I shower before 7:00. I have a routine. I'm in my car by 7:30. I'm in my office. And I think that I think a lot of people, if you leave corporate, like you're like, oh, I don't work for corporate America anymore. I work from home and I don't have to do it. But I think that you have to stay regimented. Otherwise, you potentially could go down a place where you don't want to be, in my mind, everything's about every week. I base my revenue on the weekly. I'm not a monthly revenue guy. I'm a weekly revenue guy. And if we don't hit, I want to know why. If we do hit, I want to know why. And if we over project my projections, I also want to know why. So that, again, I don't want to be at the end of the month or the end of a quarter and be, wow, we had a bad quarter. I want to be able to predict it. And if something needs to change, we could change on the fly.
Yeah.
So go digging into the franchise a little bit, just to kind of go back to your original question. So our business in a box is, I want them to get a small location. And again, it could be a work share, it could be a co-share, it could be like one of those buildings where you have multiple tenants. Like, and I think that those buildings are actually the best for this, because you meet people. Like, right. Especially when you're a new escapee or a new person that wants to, you know, start something. Like, you need to find people. And I think one thing I do think in entrepreneurship, I think it's lonely. I think you need a support system. You need people to talk to. Again, I can't go to my employees and be like, sales are terrible this month.
Right.
First of all, if the employee doesn't see that, well, that's weird. But like, I can't say, I didn't expect to get hit with this bill this month, or, we're not getting the amount of applicants we need for this position. You know, you can only talk to an employee about so much. And again, I think you have to think about your relationship with your spouse too, because again, there's a lot of things that I want to talk to my spouse about, top line things that go on, the good things, the funny things that happen. But like, I don't want to drag down my relationship with, oh, can you believe blah, 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 blah.
Right,
because
right.
Again, you want, I think that it's, nice to have a separation, so that it's not when you go home at night, you're talking about other things besides
the business. Work. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I could talk about work all day long. We've been recording for a while now, and I feel like we just started chatting. And I'm very passionate about what I do, and I love what I do, and I love the customers, and I love the employees. So to me, it's my life. But when you think about this entrepreneur, this person that's going to leave corporate, and they decide they want to explore Wingman. So, as I said earlier, I don't want them going out and spending all this money and like into something that they don't know like anything about. But so they would come to us, they'd reach out. We have, an FDD, we have an operations manual, we have projections and a pro forma. And again, the pro forma was built on our real results. Like, right. So knowing that it's not just like, oh, we just threw some numbers, against the wall and said, oh, this looks good as the pro forma. It's based on what we've been able to do. And now I look at the businesses, the two locations, I separate. So I know, like I was looking at it the other day, like, well, what's this location doing month to date? Where were they last year? So I like to look at it. And again, I don't think we have we have two locations, but like I told you, I'm using mixed workforce. So I don't have someone in my second location pounding the street every day, knocking on doors and doing that stuff, because we just didn't get there yet. But we're doing it through the podcast and the lunch and learns, and we're using tactics like that to generate the leads. But anytime we get an inquiry online, I try to get them to tell us where they came from so that we can really hone in on that. But so this new franchisee is going to come in. We want them to get a small storefront or location to, just so they have a place that, and in that it's small. Like, you don't need more than 500 square feet. Our big building has about 4,500 square feet. Our small building, the second location, has about 1,000. And that 1,000 is because that's how it was cut. That's how it was made. But looking in retrospect, we could have gone smaller. I love the location. So I'm happy there. And again, we have the, like I said, we have the podcast there. On an average day, we have 4 or 5 employees there. But again, the franchise that comes on is not going to have 4 or 5 employees. So they don't need that much space. I want them to digital mayor of their town with a location. I want them to have a place where people can come in and visit, talk about things. I think when you look at the digital space, a lot of people have gotten burnt by somebody in this digital space.
Yeah.
If it was their website, if it was social ads, if it was pay-per-click advertising, I want you to come in and be able to ask questions and understand it. You know, I said to somebody, called me today and said, well, I'm paying this guy, whatever. I said, well, what are you getting? He goes, I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's putting a face and the name together it's different, right? It's always different is always better than better. And if you need to be better and different, it's unique. You're providing that. I think it makes sense.
So, and it became like, and I think a lot of people with the digital world, they know they need it, but they don't know what they need and they don't know what they get. And, you know, they'll say to me, oh, I'm running ads with this guy and he's not getting me the performance. Well, then I'll say to them, well, what's your cost per acquisition? What is he getting customers for? What is this pay-per-click company get? I don't know. How many leads did you get? I don't know. So I want to be like that facilitator. I want to be like their, I don't want to be a vendor to people. I want to be their CMO. And I want all of my people to be their CMO. So that, like, if you have a question about your business, you come to me. And again, I think that the vendor-client relationship is a tough relationship in general, because I think a lot of times people look at a company like mine and say, he just wants to get extra money out of the pay-per-click budget. There's a lot of times I don't want extra money out of the pay-per-click budget. I want to spend it differently, or I want to, you know, spend it like, let's pull some PPC out and do some email. Let's do an A, and I say this a lot too. Let's do an A-B test. And people look at me like I have 4 heads. What's an A-B test? And I said, like, let's get a control variable and test it to see where the creative's working, where the creative's not. But some of that's hard to do over the phone when someone's not like paying 100% attention to you. When they're in your conference room or they're in your office, they're paying attention. And then if they don't understand something, you pull up a chart or you pull up something on your laptop and they can visually see it rather than, I believe a lot of people are visual learners. Yeah. And they can get more out of that. So again, when I go back to the franchise, what do I want this franchisee to look like? I want them to be just that. I want them to go to networking events. I want them to be involved in their town. I want them to sponsor the Little League team. I want them to be about that local presence that could help with other businesses' marketing. And I think we live in a world where everybody wants everything better, cheaper, quicker, but they're not always getting the best value.
Right. Like values important. And even with that model, is that, because I'm sure there's some folks, not marketing people, that are listening to this, what the hell did he just say? Right. What's an A-B test? Is this franchise really for marketing based people, or is this somebody that's got some good business sense that you can teach them?
It's good business sense. It's people that value customer service. It's people that value the clients. If you don't like, there are people, and I've spoken at high schools and at different things along the way, and people say, well, how do you make the most money? And I say, don't do a career to make the money. Do a career because you love it, because then you don't really work. And that expression of, if you do what you love, you don't work a day in your life, as corny as it sounds, I believe it, because I love what I do. So do I have bad days? Certainly. Yes. But I love what I do, that when I come in, I'm ready to take on any challenge. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to work with the team. So I think when people are just looking for a money career, there's probably some career that's going to be better to do, just if money's your only object. But I think when you look at life, and I think if you leave corporate America, like, that's really when you can reflect and say, what do I want to do?
What's important?
Important? Because again, when you're doing that second life, your second act, you know, do something you want to do that brings you joy and happiness, because that's why you left corporate America. If you wanted to stay in the rat race, you could stay in the rat race.
And the money will follow. I'm a firm believer that if you do it, you're passionate about it. And again, unless you're in some space that there's absolutely no money to be made, that it will follow. The more
it will follow, and it's going to take some time, and there's going to be some headaches. And you know, everybody's path takes a different amount of time. There's no.
Yeah.
What I also think, success is based on the person, you know.
Well, what's your definition of success, right? Everybody's is different, or it should be.
You hear people along the way, and I'm sure you've heard this, oh, that guy makes good money. Well, what's good money? Is you know, for a 25-year-old, good money is this. For a 50-year-old, good money is this. For a guy who is in the C-suite, good money is this. What does good money equal? And what's the, and again, I think it's risk versus reward. What's the risk to get that money versus what's the reward to say, all right, well, this was worth this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think part of one of my biggest realizations when I left after 6 years was my sole goal when I left was to make more money. But then I started to discover the value of time, because you never really had it. Your whole life was built around corporate. And so all of a sudden you control everything. And like, holy shit, this is a lot more valuable than what I was thinking with the money. And then you find that balance and you find the sweet spot. And how do I make more money and work less hours? And it's not about putting in hard work. It's just how do you become a little more efficient at what you do? And again, that's what I love about this journey is there's no one path for everybody. And that's the other thing I encourage people is you have to, it's not an outcome, right? The escapee journey isn't an outcome. It's the actual journey, right? If you're not enjoying it along the way, and I don't know where this has taken me. My philosophy has always been, hey, when I left, I did consulting. That gave me more energy than corporate. Then the fractional gave me more energy. Then I start to figure out a bunch of different ways to monetize, kind of like you ventured off, more energy. Then when I got into this escapee world, I'm like, hyper energized with this. Now in 2 years, is that going to change? But man, I don't know if I've been happier over the last 5 years, just even with the ups and downs with the business and everything else, just from time, energy, and overall happiness. So I long-winded answer to enjoy the journey, because that's it. Because you're going to be disappointed, right, if it's just outcome.
And you know, this, I have this thing for the employees called 3-5 plan. So part of now my journey is how to help my employees gain what they want. So, you know, again, I have my revenue plans, my growth plans, my exit plan. I have thought about all those things. But now I have these employees that are between probably 22 and 50. So what is it that they want to accomplish out of life? That accomplishment doesn't always mean that I'm involved in it. It doesn't mean that my company's about it. But I want to help them achieve success, because again, I don't think that the corporation does that for you. No one ever said to me, hey, let's sit down. And I, you know, one of the girls says, I want to move out of my house in 2 years. I said, well, let's talk about that. Let's figure out how that's going to work. Like, I said, do you want to buy a home in 2 years? Do you want to rent? Well, I just want to be out in 2 years. Well, I now said to her, let's have some ongoing discussions. But I have a number of people that are in lending and do mortgages. Well, can someone start to look at her credit and look at this and look at, so that she knows
she's got a plan.
I need to do to be out in 2 years. And I want, you know, another one said to me, I feel like, you know, I love working here, but I think the PTO policy should be a little bit better. And I said, you know, and again, I'm not a big vacation guy. So I'm an in the office 365 days a year guy. So I said to her today, I said, I want you to help me work with our HR provider. Let's rewrite the policy. If it's an issue for you and you're just comfortable coming and talking to me about it, that's an issue for other people. And I never want to lose an employee. Again, go back to corporate. They don't care. You look at the return to office. They don't care. But I don't want to lose a good employee because she didn't think she had two more PTO days. Take the PTO days. So I want to find and start uncovering those things that are important. And again, you know, when you look at these young professionals that are 5 to 32, all their friends are getting married. These people go on these bachelorette parties for 4 and 5 days now. Then they need time for the wedding, and there's 5 weddings in the year. So I get why they need more PTO time. So, but let's start to figure that out, and let's start to analyze it so we can come up with a better company and we could be a better wingman together. And, you know, when I think about some of the things that they tell me, it's very small changes to make us even better.
Yeah. And again, just the fact that you're listening and willing to make it is something you don't get in corporate, right? You just don't.
I think that that's at the times. I feel like that's not important to people. And again, I think sometimes the crazier the idea, opening a location 15 minutes away, opening another retail storefront, having someone answer my phones, doing these meetings, I think the crazier the idea sounds, the better it is for the business, because the business really needs it, but no one wants to take these issues on head on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've even got my head thinking, man, you could open up a wingman in a lot of suburban towns, hire one employee as your digital mayor, as you will. They could be 100% company. You can do all the work out of the back.
That's what we do.
Office in New Jersey, right? So
exactly. And you know, when I think about this, I want to find people that want to part. Like, again, there's going to be some people that are going to be true franchisees. There's going to be some corporate locations. And there's going to be some people we have this partnership with. Like, I also think that, and I haven't done this yet, but I'll let you have your listeners hear it first. I feel like I get a lot of referrals from IT companies and like insurance guys and other B2B professionals. Well, Could we get space where four or five guys share one rent and we're all in there together, and you have Wingman and you have ABC Insurance and you have B2B phone VOIP, and you know, you kind of cohabitate. But again, then you do those lunch and learns and those mixers and those networking events, and now four guys are bringing 10 people each, and now all of a sudden you have this great event and people are wanting to do business with all of you.
Yeah. And the ability to stop in, right? You just, I love it. All right, Tom, we've way exceeded your time.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry for you. I mean, usually I want to be respectful of the guest time, but no, we absolutely got on a roll.
I hope that this was a good episode for your listeners. And anyone that wants to talk, even if they're thinking about leaving, it doesn't have to be any interest in Wingman franchise. I would love to set up a call because, again, I did it. I took the hard jump when I had very little responsibility, so it was a little bit easier, but I get that. And I would love to kind of help anybody that might have some questions or want to know more how I did it.
Yeah. And we'll put that in the show notes for sure. But what's the best way for folks to get you? LinkedIn, straight to email?
Email is great. Tom@wingmanplanning.com. You know, we're on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, and they can visit wingmanplanning.com to learn more about the company. But I would be happy to, chat with anybody, because to your point, I think it's a different way of life, and you kind of control your destiny. I would never have had a foundation. I would have never invested in another company. I wouldn't have had a franchisees. I wouldn't have had 25 employees that love what they do and love coming to work. So, you know, we did it because, you know, I took that jump.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Love the story. Love to see where this is going to go too, because I think you may be a modern version of a franchise, and there's hybrid ways of doing it. So you got my mind thinking about things. So
anything
we'll have
let me know. I love collaborating with you. A shout out to you for your podcast listeners. I found you on TikTok, which I'm not a huge TikTok guy. I guess I had found you when you were starting to talk about the corporate, you know, 100,000 people getting out of corporate America. And you piqued my interest, because I was like, I was one of those guys. And I know so many people that are in the rat race and they don't love it. And they just like, but it's hard to make that jump. So I started to follow you there. And then I started to read your LinkedIn, and I started to, you know, see more of your stuff. And I really love what you're doing. And the fact that you're helping these people just get out and reallocate time, reallocate what's important to them, because I think that people get caught up in their career and that's who they are.
Yeah, and can't get out, right? They don't see the way out for sure. That's awesome. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Yep.
And you know, that's what I love about this. You just never know who you're going to connect with. And like I said, I used to apologize for TikTok. Now I say thank you all the time, because it gave me a great opportunity with all this.
That guy Alfie, who works for me, who reached out to you originally, I said to him, we got to get in touch with this guy, Brett. He's doing such great stuff. There's a synergy between us. So a shout out to Alfie for, you know, just cold emailing you and saying, listen, let's just chat. And we've chatted three times since. And I just think that we have a lot more synergy together of helping people. And I think you have that same mindset, which is what I like.
And I get a ton of those outreaches. And so it just, I can't remember what it was about his email that made sense, but I'm like, I'm glad I connected. So anyway,
awesome.
Really appreciate all the time you spent with us today. And we're going to keep tabs on you. We'll see where you're going, because I think there's some in-person things and some
other
stuff.
When you want to do something. I'm happy to collab on anything you have going on.
Awesome. Sounds good. Appreciate it, Tom.
All right. Have a great day.